Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, hello there. Welcome back. It's great to be a part of this again. You and I sitting here chatting, talking football. It's Thursday, so we are going to break down tonight's game, and it's going to be Twitter Thursday. That might be a regular thing. You know, talking about just one game isn't enough to entertain us both enough, so we'll take the opportunity on every Thursday, I think, to open it up to your guys' Twitter questions, and I got quite a few good ones last night. I'm Matt Williamson, by the way. My Twitter handle's at WilliamsonNFL. You probably know that by now, but we're growing quickly, so maybe it's the first time you're listening. And this is the Locked On NFL podcast. Tonight's game, we've talked a lot of Dolphins, I feel like. And overall, I'll give you the thumbnail. Overall, I think they're going in the right direction, have hired the right coach. I think their offense has been up and down, but in the big picture is gradually going the right direction and will get there. I think that Gase will get the most out of Tannehill. I like their weapons. I like the players on the offensive line. I don't really think they have a running back. On defense, I really like their defensive front. I'd really dislike their back seven, although I think their safeties are good. They're particularly weak, obviously, at linebacker and corner. Cincinnati's a quality team. Less holes, obviously. Different stage of their development than Miami, obviously. They've had a tough schedule. They're 1-2 at this point. They need this game pretty, you know, get back in the playoff hunt, although it's only week four. Two good backs, A.J. Green, and then a void, really, with the pass catchers, and I think that's hurt them a bit. I've said that over and over. I thought the Eifert injury was gigantic. On defense, I think they're good. They're not great. They've gotten less complex of late. A lot of zone, a lot of four-man rush, not a lot of blitz, but they're good at it. You know, Geno Atkins is the straw that serves the drink, so they are good at it. So, when the Bengals have the ball, teams are really, really throwing on Miami a high percentage of the time. And makes a lot of sense. You know, if you can block up front, you can really expose these corners. And Maxwell and Howard, the rookie, you know, are not good enough. Let's just put it that way. They need corners in a big way this offseason. Also, a very high percentage of Dalton's completions have been on deep balls. That doesn't add up so great for stopping A.J. Green. You know, people throw on the Dolphins like crazy. Dalton's completing a lot of deep balls. A.J. Green's a superstar. The guys covering him are bad. That's a problem. I mean, I think even LaFell's going to see a lot of one-on-one and being able to expose it, or Boyd even, you know, if you come out with those three wide, you're really getting the Dolphins' thin corner. I also think Gio Bernard could do some good things, particularly in the passing game against the Dolphins' linebackers. And this isn't to say Cincinnati's not going to run the ball, but they got away from it last week. I think Hill will be productive, but I still think the best course of action here is a lot of short throws to Gio or a lot of deep throws to your receivers. And there should be plenty of room to do those things. So that's a bit of a concern. There's no doubt about that. Some other guys to note here. Who are some of the players really playing well in this part of the matchup? Andrew Whitworth, as usual, has been very, very good. But the offensive line, the right tackle, Abui, is a work in progress, let's say that. And he's going to go against Cameron Wake a lot in this game. Wake looks very good. Wake looks like, you know, Wake is an impact player still. So that very much favors the Dolphins, and it'll be a fun one to watch to see where Abui is at. Namakong Su, I don't understand Namakong Su. Not that I don't understand the player. I don't understand the public perception of him. Because the Dolphins don't win a lot of games, and because he makes a bazillion dollars, everyone assumes he's a bust. He's a superstar, and he's playing great. So I urge you, go out of your way to watch Namakong Su. Isolate your eyes on Namakong Su. I don't know, 10, 12 plays this game, whatever you want. I bet he comes through in a very impressive fashion. So he's somebody that will cause problems. And again, therefore, I think you're going to see less Jeremy Hill inside run because, you know, the Bengals are also weak at center, too. Actually, both these teams are weak at center, and we'll get to that in a minute. But Steen has been playing for Pouncey. That's been a problem for Miami, too. So both these teams, keep an eye on that tonight, are both pretty darn weak at the center position. I've talked about this a million times. I don't understand why the Bengals never addressed that problem. They seem very content to be below average at center. And the last guy to kind of note from the Dolphins defense is Rashad Jones. He's a real do-it-all safety. Shows up a lot. Highly, highly active. He's another player. I mean, Sue, Wake, Jones are all really good at what they do. And then outside the other defensive linemen, it's a bit of a struggle to find people that meet that criteria for the Dolphins right now. Other side of the ball, some people to watch, some matchups to look at here. I don't know what to think of the Miami running back situation. There's talks that Arian Foster might play tonight. I don't know. I'm not sure it matters. I don't think he plays a dominant amount of snaps. Drake did some good things. I seem to like Ajayi and Damian Williams more than the Dolphins do. So that looks like a utter committee. And if you're thinking of fantasy reasons, don't start any Miami running backs. I think Cincinnati, as they showed against Denver last week, is going to be really tough to run on. And Denver's obviously much better running the football than the Dolphins are. And to me, that's going to cause a lot of problems. But there are some things in Miami's favor in the passing game. And talked about Tannehill a lot, and there's times he looks great. I mean, he completed 14 in a row against the Patriots. He brought the team back last week. I mean, I'm a believer. I feel like I'm on a limb there. I'm a believer. Landry's a star. He's just a super consistent producer week to week to week. I mean, he's not A.J. Green, don't get me wrong, but he is a high target guy, move the chains, tough attitude player. He will see a lot of Shaw, who's sort of half corner, half safety, and he's been okay for the Bengals. Yeah, he's been okay, but overall, they've been struggling against slot receivers, and Landry's one of the best ones out there. A big key here, too, is by, you know, at noon here on Thursday, it sounds like Drake Kirkpatrick, who's kind of turned into pretty much turned into their top corner, is very unlikely to play. So they're really, really thin at corner, which is crazy because, you know, more than just about any team in the league, they use high picks on corners, but they've just been riddled with injuries at that position. I think that bodes well for Tannehill. I think it bodes real well for Landry. I think it bodes really well for Parker. Maybe Stills hits a big hitter. You know, he's kind of just what he is at this point. He hits a big play here and there, but I think his time will be replaced by Carew sooner than later. So that's certainly a concern. You know, the cornerback situation, if something's going to derail the Bengals, it's going to be their cornerback situation tonight. And then a couple other guys, just a note. Geno Atkins, I said, he's a straw that stirs a drink. He's a superstar. Like I told you to watch Sue, much different styles of defensive tackles, even though they're asked to do some of the same things, or focus in on Geno tonight a fair amount. I think you'll be impressed. Dunlap has also been quite good this year, too, the defensive end. He'll be going against James, the Dolphins' right tackle. That favors the Bengals, but not by leaps and bounds. James isn't a liability, but Dunlap's the better player. And then a linebacker's been playing really well for them, too, is Vincent Ray. He's got good coverage ability. He covers a lot of ground. He's a smart player. I like Ray, so he's somebody to watch, too. I have the Bengals in this game. I think there'll be a lot of passing. You know, the more you lay it out, I think there's going to be a lot of throwing. I think the game's going to be more entertaining than originally thought. 27-21 Cincinnati. How's that sound? Locked On NFL is brought to you by SeatGeek. And SeatGeek's been great for the Locked On Network. I urge you, if your favorite team's the Bengals or the Chiefs or whoever, to go check out the Locked On Chiefs, the Locked On Bengals, Locked On Dolphins podcast too. They're very, very good. And to use SeatGeek to go to those games. You know, if you're trying to get into the Bengals-Dolphins tonight, or I know a lot of people around here, even though the Steelers just got their heads beat in, can't wait to get to Steelers-Chiefs Sunday night football, you know. So absolutely to do that, you go to SeatGeek. You know, SeatGeek's been great for us. I've learned a lot about them. You use the promo code LONFL, and you get $20 rebate off your first purchase. I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, it's, in some cases, that's a, you know, that's a big portion of one ticket, almost like a free ticket at times. So that's something you absolutely need to do. It's become very, very mobile friendly. It's an easy experience. The ticket is delivered inside the app right on your phone. You don't have to deal with paper and mail and all those things that are archaic nowadays. You walk to the gate with the barcode from the SeatGeek app, boom, whip out your phone, and you're in. They have a deal score where they rate every ticket from 1 to 100 to kind of tell you what kind of bang for your buck you're getting, you know. So that's real helpful if this isn't something you've done a lot of. Again, I mean, you get a $20 rebate with your promo code. Put in LONFL, and you'll get that $20 off your first ticket. The best deal ever. You can also set up for price alerts for events. It'll let you know what the pricing is for an event. They can drop as things get closer to the game. SeatGeek will let you know if your ticket's in your price range. So, what, you know, how can you beat that? And one of the things that I would imagine, I mean, people know about at this point, but it's so great because I had buddies, or, you know, back in the day before I was doing this, that if I want to put a bet down, you get there in time, you had to do things all paper, or, you know, you had to buy tickets, you know, over and hope that they got there in time, or, you know, this is just so much easier that, yeah, I'm going to go to the game, or I'm going to go down and party with my buddies in the parking lot, and let's go in. So I'll just use my SeatGeek app, and boom, I'm in. Tremendous stuff, and something I urge you to check out immediately. Twitter Thursday, huh? All right. What do we got here? Milkskin Russ. Big Joe Cool 27, we're going to call him. That's what he is. At Big Joe Cool 27. Just how good is the Falcons offensive line? It's good. It's real good. It's much better this year. I think Alex Mack's one of the better centers in the league. I think the second year in this system has gone a long way. I think Jake Matthews is going to live up to the family name and be a long-time high-end starting left tackle, you know, fixture of a football team. Tackles in general are pretty good. The guards are okay. I've been raving about the Falcons' offense, and rightfully so. They're putting up a ton of points. Matt Ryan's playing much better. The running game's very impressive. But just a slight pump of the brakes, they've got a really difficult couple games coming up. So we may learn a lot more about the Falcons. Remember last year how they started super hot, and then the schedule kind of brought them back to reality? Well, it's just, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying to keep an eye out on that situation. It could be an issue. But their line's very good. I mean, their weakest spot is guard. If they were to add anybody in the offseason, it would probably be a guard. Ryan Dean asks, does the addition of Josh Gordon next week completely change the Browns' offense? Great question. I don't know. I mean, they've gone through so many quarterbacks, and Hugh Jackson's had to adjust on the fly over and over. I'm not sure exactly what the Browns' offense is. But I will say that in terms of winning this year, and it sounds like McCown might be back sooner than later, that if you put McCown out there with Duke or Crowell in the backfield, and I like both players, Barnage as your tight end, and when Coleman comes back, and Gordon and Pryor, that's a pretty good offense. I mean, that's some quality players. There's some skill guys on this team. And I still think Gordon, if he comes back this week, they're going to try to feature him and see if a team out there will give them a pick for him. They say that's not what they're going to do. And same with McCown. I can see the logic of playing Kessler, but if McCown's healthy, I think you have to play him. I don't know how Gordon changes the offense. I think that offense is changing dramatically and is a massive work in project But the defense is so bad that I kind of think they could be a Jacksonville type of offense this year, where they're racking up a lot of garbage time production and maybe putting up better stats than they truly are, but there's talent there, and it's one of the places that the Browns can hopefully get excited or be something, see something to see there. My man Chris Clark, NFL, asks, can any of the 0-3 teams make the playoffs? I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, they've kind of separated themselves at this point as the worst teams in the league. The Saints come to mind as maybe, you know, I mean, there are 13 games left. You know, could the Saints go 9-4 over the next 13 games and sneak in? Maybe. Could Jacksonville do that? Maybe. Saints defense, though, is just so rough, and Jacksonville has not shown enough signs of life for me to say that that's a possibility. And the Bears and the Browns, to me, cannot do that. they can't do that. So if anyone will, it's the Jacksonville Jags, and that, again, right when that division was starting to look promising, J.J. Watt gets hurt, the Texans get blown out, that I'm starting to come around that there might not be a good team in the South, so maybe the Jags can sneak in at 8-8 if things drastically change there, but their play leaves no indication that that's going to happen. Let's go back to the Bengals here. Dreams of Witness at D. Witness. Do you think the Bengals offense will improve with time throughout the season? I always say the same thing about the Bengals offense. When they get Eifert back, they'll be a lot better. So yes, Eifert's going to come back and they'll get better, assuming that they don't get riddled with other injuries or whatnot. The right tackle who I mentioned, Abui, former first-round pick, I think he gets better. Boyd probably gets better as the season goes on. So, yeah, he puts in parentheses here. I'm not sure if it's a he or she. My fault. Lots of new pieces. Well, there isn't that many new pieces. The running back's the same. AJ Green and the quarterback the same. The majority of the offensive line's the same. Changes at the peripheral receiver positions, but okay. Which Mint Dragon's very active on Twitter, by the way, and I appreciate that quite a bit. Which 1-2 teams save their season this weekend? Carolina really comes to mind, and that goes back to Atlanta having a tough schedule. If they beat Atlanta and then Atlanta struggles the next couple weeks against some tough teams and Carolina plays like they're capable, puts them right back in charge of that division. The Titans and the Colts are both 1-2 playing each, or again in that awful division. Do they save their season? I don't know about that. I think Cincinnati tonight goes a long way to save their season. Save your season is a rough term for me in week 3. I mean, unless you're 0-3 and in desperate times, but like the Bengals and Carolina and Arizona to me are still, you know, certainly playoff, you know, not favorites, but maybe even favorites for Arizona and the Panthers. You know, the Bengals are in a little bit of a dilemma because they're already third in their division, and one of the teams is 3-0, and they lost head-to-head to the Steelers. So those are the teams that stand out there. And actually, I just wrote an article. It'll probably come out about the same time the podcast comes out, that which 1-2 teams are still strong in the playoff hunt. And in order, I went Carolina, Arizona, Bengals, and then there's some surprise stuff in there too, some that you might like. So check that out. I will post that on my Twitter timeline. So this was Twitter Thursday. I liked it. It was fun. I like answering your guys' questions. Just like you're sitting here at the bar with me and we're chatting and bounce something off me and I'll tell you what I think. So again, check out all the Locked On podcasts, Locked On Fantasy, Locked On NFL Draft, Locked On Your Favorite Team. Leave us all reviews on iTunes. Drop me a line on Twitter about anything, at WilliamsonNFL. Good talking to you as always. Take care.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.